Are you bored at work? Listen to the Superhuman Channel daily. Catch older episodes of Superhuman Radio, plus listen to Superhuman Radio live every day at 1 p.m. Pacific.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. It's Monday, and we're going to start the week off with an assault. We're going to be talking about Monsanto during the first hour with Judith McGeary from Farm and Ranch Freedom. And later in the show, we will be talking with Charles Spencer as we do another installment into the Muscle Saves Lives series. I wish we could get Phil Mickelson to listen to this show. Anybody who knows Phil Mickelson needs to tell him to listen to today's show and stop pimping rheumatoid arthritis drugs when RA can be dealt with through diet alone. But that's later in the show in another series, another installment of the Muscle Saves Lives series. But we're going to start out first with a friend of the show, a much more sensible guest. Quite often she pulls the reins back on me when I start saying silly things, and that is Judith McGeary. How you doing, Judith?
I'm doing great. It's always good to be on your show.
Yes, yes, and we have good reason to be on. You know, I have to tell you, there are two organizations that I want to see fall to the too-big-to-fail phenomenon. The first is obviously Monsanto. The second is the FDA. There are signs that the FDA is cracking. They're starting to monitor internal emails amongst their scientists. Dissension among the ranks is the first sign of an organization in trouble. Monsanto is suffering as well. They came through their first quarter this year, 50% earnings down. Investors are worried. Monsanto seems to be failing on every front. Their Roundup Ready corn has done what we all, anyone who uses critical thinking knows that the bugs and the weeds are just going to accommodate and get stronger and stronger, and Ready Roundup is not working. The bugs are eating the corn. The weeds are too strong for the Roundup to even work. Now they're looking to turn to Agent Orange. Monsanto is an example of a company that is about to fail, in my humble opinion, and they're also being besieged now, rightfully so, by the farmers that they have oppressed for so many years. Now, I happen to know something that my audience may not know, that you are not only a farmer, but an attorney, and you are a very sensible person. And generally, when people like me go off on an emotional tangent, you always pull us back and say, no, you really can't do that. You really can't win that. You really can't go that way. But here, it looks like your organization has filed a lawsuit. Is that correct?
We do our share of tilting at windmills. Now, we weren't the ones to file the lawsuit. What we've done is we're supporting the people who have filed it. There's a wonderful another nonprofit, the Public Patent Foundation, that on behalf of something like 80 farming organizations and seed growing businesses and individual farmers filed a lawsuit against Monsanto because of Monsanto's aggressive patent enforcement. And, you know, my guess is your listeners have heard something about this. You know, there's been a fair amount of publicity about the fact that Monsanto pursues farmers under claims that they are violating Monsanto's patent. You know, and some of those farmers are folks who have saved seed, and some of those farmers, as best any of us can tell, are farmers who've done nothing wrong other than grow corn, soy, and canola, and their crops have been contaminated.
And now, so let's talk about that, because we have lots of new listeners all the time who may not really understand what is afoot here. So the Reader's Digest version, as a layperson understands it, is this. Crops like corn, they pollinate. If you are a farmer on one side of the road who is growing a Monsanto genetically modified form of corn, and I am a farmer across the road from you, who is growing just plain old-fashioned corn, there's a high probability that your corn will cross-pollinate mine and turn it into the GMO corn that is protected by the patent, correct?
Exactly. And, you know, it may not be a huge amount of your crop. It may only be 1%, 5%, 10%, whatever it is. But under patent law, if Monsanto's patent material or DuPont's or Syngenta's patent material is on my property, I'm liable to them under patent law. And it goes at all kinds of levels. So what you just described is sort of the core method. Here's how contamination happens. But I want people to envision the fact that somewhere between 80 to 90, even 95% in some cases of these crops in this country are GMO. So, and it's been more and more and more every year. So it starts even when a farmer goes and buys seed, because the odds are incredibly high that there's already GMO in those seeds.
Right.
That even some, even if they're labeled as non-GMO, that there's some amount of GMO contamination. So from the second the farmer plants, there's already contamination.
And there's no way for him to know that there's GMO seeds in there.
They
don't look different.
They don't look different. You'd have to pay for laboratory testing. And some of the plaintiffs, for instance, in this case, testified when they were testing that as many as a third of the seed loads that they bought, they had to reject because they had GMO seeds.
Now, see, it would appear to me that the onus should be on Monsanto. And here's the thing. I got to be honest.
That would be logical.
Right. But here's where you and I tend to kind of go off on a tangent. And you tend to go, well, maybe not. But I have this strange feeling, only because of what I learned about what's going on in Brazil with the farmers there. The GMO seeds that found their way into Brazil were smuggled into Brazil. You have to ask, who would benefit from smuggling these seeds that once they are there, they actually start to contaminate everything else there? Who has the who benefits from this? Monsanto benefits. I have to believe that Monsanto smuggled those seeds into Brazil knowing that we will just end up with all of our crops there because this stuff will cross-pollinate and we will just infuse ourselves into the terrain there. So you have to say, who benefits from Monsanto's seeds accidentally ending up in these seed lots? Monsanto does. So the onus should be on Monsanto to make sure their seeds don't end up in those seed lots, not in the farmers having to test and reject them.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. Now, whether Monsanto is responsible for smuggling to Brazil, I don't know, but we do know. I mean, this is stuff that is very clear, that Monsanto and the other biotech giants, I mean, Monsanto is the biggest of them, but there's, you know, DuPont and Syngenta and others, that they absolutely have used, for instance, American foreign policy to try to force other countries to
yes.
start using GMO seeds. And what you just described is absolutely, to me, the clear reason why. It's not just the profits they get from that first sale. It's the fact that once you've introduced GMOs into a country and you get them to a certain level of being planted, they start contaminating. And then farmers are left with the choice. Well, I can either continue planting non-GMO seeds and find myself at risk of having Monsanto, this huge company, come after me and sue me, or I can just give in and start buying GMO seed from them purposefully.
Right.
Well, guess what happens? Is a lot of farmers end up sort of strong-armed into it, and they manage to dominate the seed industry. And it's very clear they've used American foreign policy. I mean, there are documents that have come out through WikiLeaks and through all kinds of sources.
Yeah, we've talked about it. We've pressure. Talked about it on the air here that there's politicians that will try to pressure other countries to use Monsanto's GMO seeds. And these other countries don't want GMO, and there's a reason they don't want it. They don't. It's not that they don't want it because they don't want Monsanto to profit, but these other countries recognize
that's a good enough reason by itself.
What's that?
That's a good enough reason by
but
itself.
But that's not it. They're not standing in the way of commerce and progress. What they're saying is, we don't know what the risks of these genetically modified foods are. We are seeing some evidence that they may not be beneficial to the human condition. But Monsanto's going, well, it's good enough for America. It should be good enough for you.
That's true. But I will also say, I mean, actually, it's not that they're not, quote, standing in the way of commerce in terms of they're doing it because they're anti-capitalist.
Right.
But a lot of these countries have looked at the situation and said, look, we're poor countries. Our farmers are poor people. if we end up in a system of agriculture where we have to pay year after year fees for technology, and these seeds generally only perform well if you also put high nitrogen fertilizer and use herbicides. I mean, the Roundup Ready crops, for instance, are designed specifically to use lots and lots of herbicides.
Right.
So, you know, they look at it and they make a very logical, you know, decision, which is, this is a disaster for poor farmers.
Yes.
If you want to feed Africa, if you want to feed South America, you do it with open pollinated, you know, varieties which do well under conditions where you don't need expensive fertilizers and herbicides. You don't do it with genetically engineered crops.
Now, we have to take a break, but you just talked about something that's a big frustration. I rail recently, as recent as the past few months, I have really started to rail against Bill Gates, because Bill Gates is an open advocate for genetically modified crops, and his battle cry is always that we need GMO if we want to feed the poor countries. And you just raised a point that I didn't even know about. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, before we start talking about the lawsuit, I want to talk a little bit more about this notion that genetically modified foods are the only way. Because what you just said makes sense. I never realized. We're talking with Judith McGeary. She is with the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance. It's not alliance, is it? I always get the name.
Yeah, it's Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance.
And the website is farmandranchfreedom.org. And everyone needs to go there, because there's lots of good tools there for you to speak up and be heard about how you feel about what is ensuing. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Good evening, ladies. I tell you from the start, I'm hoping you enjoy my amusement park.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately. You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound, and get free shipping too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while you're in coma. Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrate carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Sarah Sobier asked me on Facebook today what my thoughts were about the movie Forks Over Knives. And those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time know that I've had a very, very strong opinion against Forks Over Knives because it's nothing more than the Trojan horse of the vegan diet. So it gave me a chance to repost a very, very popular blog post of mine, What to Say to a Vegan, that points to some very, very profound studies that show that the vegan's diet does not produce a greater degree of health than those of us who eat meat. So check it out. Go to my Facebook page and check out What to Say to a Vegan. I think you'll really enjoy it. We're talking this hour with Judith McGeary. She is with Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance. The website is farmandranchfreedom.org. Now, you just made it a point that, see, a non-farmer like myself would never understand. I mean, Bill Gates says, hey, if we want to feed the world, we have to go GMO. But what you're saying is that's exactly the opposite of the truth because it's more expensive. And it makes perfect sense. Farmers should be able to collect their own seeds and reuse them and not pay over and over again. That is really part of the beauty of farming, isn't it?
Well, and there are a lot of layers to this, and there's actually, I believe, Jill Richardson, a friend of mine, is working on a book that I think is due out this fall on this topic, on the whole issue of, you know, feeding the world and the really the lies that agribusiness tells. And when I've talked with her, she tells me, you know, there's paperwork that shows these guys did focus groups. I mean, they were like, so what do we do to sell GMOs to the public?
Right.
And what came back from the focus groups was you tell people you feed the world.
Yeah.
Because who's going to argue against, you know, and I get this. I get this from people when I talk in favor of sustainable agriculture. It's basically, well, you're going to be dealing with, you know, starving children. It's like, no, that's not true.
Right.
And one layer of it is what you mentioned, the paying the fees for the seeds. But it goes even much, much deeper, which is production does best under very specific conditions. So what does well in a country with very cold winters is different from a country that has almost no winters, is different from an area where there's a lot of rainfall, is different from an area where there's little rainfall, is different, you know, there's this huge range. And there's even a range within one area. So you have a situation where countries often with low rainfall, or, you know, heck, Texas, I can tell you this.
Right. Especially lately.
You know, any area that has a sort of unpredictable rainfall, there's often a situation where you can't be sure when you're going to get the rainfall. So what traditional farmers have done, what, to be blunt, peasant farmers have done, is they plant lots of different varieties. So they'll have half a dozen different varieties of maize. And one of them does really well if it rains early. One of them does okay if it rains, if it doesn't rain early, but they get a late rainfall. One of them does. And that way, regardless of what the year is like, they don't starve.
Yes.
And what we're doing with the whole world of genetically modified seeds, among, you know, one of the many problems with them, is we're driving it to less and less genetic diversity. Even before the question of what does the GMO portion do, the bottom line is you end up with a very, very small handful of crops and very small handful of strains within those crops that dominate the seed supply.
And I'll
and
tell
that's
you,
setting up for disaster.
Well, and here's the other thing. Here's the other issue at hand, in my opinion. Another battle cry of GMO is the fact that, you know, because it's genetically modified, we don't have to use as much pesticides and herbicides, which is exactly the opposite of the truth. In fact, as the years have gone on, things like the corn borer and the weeds that used to infest have actually upgraded their strength levels to supercompensate. And so now they're having to pour this stuff on in tons of gallons because they can't control the bugs and the weeds any longer. So the exact opposite is true. If you buy Ready Roundup or Roundup Ready GMO corn, you are being exposed to 10 times the amount of herbicides and pesticides that were used previous. Isn't that a true statement?
I don't know the number, but yes, basically. In sentiment, it is. Stop and think about what the words, and a lot of your listeners may not realize, what the words Roundup Ready means. Roundup, or the active ingredient glyphosate, is a herbicide. It kills pretty much anything green that it touches. Or that was a true statement about 20 years ago.
Right.
If you sprayed Roundup on something and it was green, it died. What they've done with Roundup Ready crops, or glyphosate ready crops, is it's designed to manage to survive the application of glyphosate. So the whole purpose of it, the specific entire purpose is, if you have a field and you plant corn or soy or canola, and you get weeds, you go in and you spray glyphosate right onto the crop. And it kills the weeds, and the crop survives, and the crop is then harvested and sold as animal and human food.
Mm.
So what is this? The whole point of this is, let's be able to spray herbicide right onto the food crop.
Right. Right. Which means that we're ingesting more of it. Okay, so now let's talk about this. So the first round of this lawsuit found itself in New York. Why was New York the venue for the first lawsuit?
I don't know why the plaintiffs chose New York specifically. Patent lawsuits you can bring almost anywhere if it's a national product.
Right.
And I don't know why specifically New York was the choice. It might be PubPat Foundation is based in New York. They're the nonprofit that bought it,
right,
brought the case. And I do want to give kudos. They are, to my knowledge, Dan Ravitcher and the Public Patent Foundation are the only folks who are looking at the patent issue and fighting out on it from the public interest side. And not just on this case, but in general, looking and saying, you know, some things shouldn't be patented. And some patents aren't properly given, and speaking out for the public interest on it. So they brought the case in the district court in New York. And We filed what was called an amicus brief. It's a friend of the court. It means basically we're not plaintiffs, but we want to have our say in this.
Right.
And give our opinion. And the great thing about amicus briefs is we get to say things sometimes that you can't say as a party.
Right.
You know, you get have a little free your hand. Unfortunately, the district court was incredibly dismissive of the plaintiff's case. Literally, she dismissed the plaintiff's case. And in an opinion that I found really disturbing, you know, part of the evidence, the issue specifically before the court, there are lots of stages to lawsuits. So,
right,
you know, I'll try to keep this semi not technical, but sorry. The first issue, Monsanto tries to get the case dismissed and succeeded on the issue of standing. And what it boils down to, is there an immediate dispute between the parties? You know, and that's a question of getting to court, for the court to be able to make a ruling on the case.
Right, right.
And what Monsanto claimed is, look, we've promised that we have a pledge on our website that we will not sue farmers who are inadvertently contaminated with trace levels of contamination. So if these farmers are telling the truth and they don't want to use GMOs, they have nothing to fear from us. Are you kidding?
That kind of flies in the face of the numbers. 144 lawsuits against farmers had settled approximately 700 others in 13 years. It seems like, I can't believe that there's 844 terrible, deceitful farmers out there who want Ready Roundup corn at all. I think that these were all contamination. And it's almost like your dog gets in my backyard and bites my child, and you're telling me that my child should not have been in her own backyard, is kind of the argument here. And I can't believe that the court is biased in Monsanto's favor here at all.
It was really, I mean, it's amazing. And, you know, some of those cases probably involved farmers who were cheating the system. I'm sure there were some. But really, all, you know, almost 1,000 of them, it's hard to believe. And the only, let's note this, the only entity that really knows is Monsanto. It's in their files is all of the information. And the normal thing a court does when that's the situation, if one party is saying, here's the situation, but they're the only ones that know the truth of it, the court usually allows what's called discovery. Other party have access to the files so we can see, is this really true? And the court didn't do that. The judge simply accepted Monsanto's characterization of its own lawsuits and its own settlement agreements. And also, you know, the other part of this is, even before you get to the stage of actual contamination or Monsanto's threatening suit, because of the fear of these suits, because of the threat of the potential,
yes,
farmers have taken very extensive and expensive measures. So they do things we've mentioned, testing. They also do things like create buffer zones on their own property.
Which is unusable land now.
Exactly. They give up portions of their own property to try to prevent GMO contamination.
But
from
we
happening.
Know, but and we know that that doesn't work, because even giving gracious amounts of buffer space in between crops, a good blast of wind a couple days in a row, and guess what? You've got GMO corn growing.
It's, you know, it helps. It reduces the contamination. It does not eliminate it.
Right.
I mean, let's say it does. Let's say you manage to create a good enough buffer zone that you don't get contaminated. That's property you've given up. That's expense that the farmer has paid. That's lost income to the farmer. That, why should the farmer have to do that?
Well, that, and to go back to the analogy of the little girl playing in her own backyard and the, mm-hmm. and the vicious dog next door. So you decide to come out of your own pocket and put up this really high, expensive fence and even make your yard smaller because, and so you're doing all this because the insult will not fix itself. So you have to accommodate it and fix it. It doesn't make sense. And how, I mean, this is why I don't trust judges anymore. I got to be honest with you. I think that the statement, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, is a very, very true statement. And I think sitting judges are probably one of the most vulnerable to this type of thing. No one questions them. And worse than that, they're never held accountable when there's clearly something afoot. To just simply dismiss all of these farmers and not try to find some middle ground, no pun intended, it shows me that the court is biased right from the get-go. I'm sorry. And I know you're very judicious about this sort of stuff. You're well-balanced. I just feel like the court is biased in Monsanto's favor, because just the fact that they said, they told the farmers that they had to simply trust this company and their decision of what trace amounts was. I mean, we don't hear that in the United States. You have to trust the company? Really?
And it's interesting, what so she dismissed the case, and we took it up on appeal, or the plaintiffs took it up on appeal, and we again supported them. And it's fascinating when you go and you read the past cases on this issue of standing, you know, on the issue of when can people bring a lawsuit about patent rights. And one of the phrases that the Supreme Court has used and gets quoted a lot is the point of what's called the declaratory judgment action, when you go and you ask the court to declare what people's legal rights are,
okay,
is that a plaintiff shouldn't have to bet the farm in order to know what their rights are.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to risk everything you own basically sort of waiting to see what the other guy does. You should be able to find out up front what your risks are and what the law is, and be able to make your decisions based on that.
Right.
But it's amazing, because they keep using the words, the plaintiff shouldn't have to bet the farm. And that really was what the district court said to our to these farmer plaintiffs. It's tough lot. You know, you're going to have to wait until Monsanto actually sues you, basically. And at that point, you're betting the farm. I mean, going up against a company like Monsanto in a one-on-one lawsuit, the legal fees, even if you win, could destroy a farmer. Which is why so few farmers do it, which is why, you know, people don't challenge companies like that. So we're saying to the appellate court is, you know, this isn't right. The point of declaratory judgment is so that people know what their rights are. You're dealing with, for the first time ever, a product in patent law that self-replicates.
That's the scary part.
It was interesting. There was another case where I was, again, sort of when you do these briefs, you read lots of cases because you're looking for comparisons. And
right.
Stuff. And one of the cases dealing with GMOs, the court was comparing it to things like software. And the court was like, this is not the first time in patent law that we've looked at things that could be that could reproduce.
But here's the difference.
The
difference is that Bill Gates doesn't sell software that automatically replicates and installs itself on other people's computers. In fact, they have barriers to that out there so that that doesn't happen. I mean, I'll tell you the truth.
Exactly. You have to make an effort to go replicate their software.
This would be akin to me saying that the dust from my home has a value. And I want to start searching all of my neighbors' homes because that my dust may end up in their homes. And if it does end up in their homes, I want them to pay me for it. But no one is saying to me, well, you have to control the dust from getting out of your home in the first place before you can do that. Because there has to be evidence that that person wanted your dust in their home. And yeah. I don't understand how they can say that this is similar to software, because Bill Gates doesn't want people replicating his software without paying for it. There's no advantage to that for him.
Exactly.
This is crazy
stuff.
Well,
I don't think these companies want anyone replicating their they want to get paid for it.
Of course. Of course. But okay, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick it up. We've got more to discuss, and also what you can do to let those out there know that you're disgusted with this type of parasitic relationship that Monsanto has with farmers in the America. You know what? Thank God somebody wants to farm. Once we lose the farmers, you can kiss this country goodbye, because we'll depend on other countries for everything then. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Unlocked down like a penitentiary. She spreads her loving all over, and when she gets home, there's none left for me.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. You already know how great the Testo 100 transdermal testosterone boosting patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better, bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
An aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, 4-Max. Old-school testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a 4-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. 4-Max changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing your old 4-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get 4-Max. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 4-Max banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Later in the show, another installment in the Muscle Saves Lives episodes. When we talk to a man who should be speaking to Phil Mickelson, as Phil Mickelson pimps rheumatoid arthritis drugs. Shame, shame. I put him in the same category as Paula Deen. I got to be honest with you. Okay. This is a very, very important discussion. And I got to tell you something as we go into this discussion again. I don't have a lot of trust in the government as it relates to this particular issue because it's clear that there is great support for Monsanto amongst the legislative bodies and current administration. And this has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans. I'm sure that Mitt Romney will side with Monsanto as well. I have to be honest with you. It comes down to us, folks. We vote every day with our dollars. I've said this time and time again. You must take a minute. There's plenty of websites that have lists of companies that buy product from Monsanto. And you must avoid those companies. Because if you do that, if enough of us do that, and sales are impacted, they'll do focus groups. And when they hear, well, we don't buy from you because you buy product from Monsanto, they will abandon Monsanto. In order for Monsanto to go down the tubes, we have to hit them from all the fronts, the farmers and the consumers. So don't expect the government to step up. And that's what we're going to talk about now, what we hope to see happen in the appeal division here. Judith, what do you think can happen, and are you hopeful?
Well, and let me add something to what you were just saying, because I think we have to. This is a fight that has to be fought at every opportunity.
Yes,
you know, every front we've got to, and the consumer one is a huge one. And there are two pieces people can do. One is buy things that are labeled non-GMO. You can actually find a non-GMO label now. There's a non-GMO project. Look for it and support those businesses. The other is, you know, if you still have packaged foods in your pantry or your cabinets, pull them out, look at the back. There's almost always, if not always, a manufacturer's phone number on there for, you know, comments, complaints, and questions.
Yes, yes.
Take a minute. Call that number and say, I want to know if you're testing for GMOs in your products. Oh, you're not? Well, then I'm going to seriously be looking at a competitor in order to switch and find someone who's sourcing non-GMO. I'd really encourage you, if you don't want to lose my business and my friend's business, to start sourcing non-GMO.
You know what? This literally takes less than a minute to do. You're absolutely right, because I've called manufacturer phone numbers because I've had questions about things in the past. And they answer their toll-free numbers. They answer on the second ring. And you're right there talking to the person who's gathering the information. If enough of us in this country started doing that, you can bet that they query those incoming calls to see what consumers are saying. The message will start getting out. Consumers don't want GMO. And I've said this before. They will sell us GMO or they will not. They want to sell us a product. It's up to us to let them know what we want to buy.
Exactly. And, you know, tell them, you know, you're starting to look for the non-GMO project seal. You want companies that are non-GMO and, you know, get their act together. So that's one front. So there's the consumer buying power front, and that's incredibly important. There's the lawsuit front, and there's a legislative front, and those are two separate pieces. But we'll hit the lawsuit. Well, I'll go back to the lawsuit one.
Okay.
So the next step, you know, right now what's happened is the plaintiffs filed their brief. We filed our brief. Monsanto gets to file its brief next. And then it's up to what's called the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. They're the Court of Appeals that handles all patent cases in D.C. And there's honestly, in some ways, not much that the public can do to influence a federal court. I mean, the federal courts are set up to be immune from public pressure.
Well, first of all, are they guaranteed to get an appeal, or is this discretionary? Can they look at this and say, we don't want to rule on it, we're just going to let it go?
This stage of appeal is guaranteed.
Okay. Okay.
The courts of appeals are guaranteed to hear your case one way or another.
Okay.
It's when you get to the Supreme Court that it becomes discretionary and they choose what they hear.
Okay. Okay.
So there will be a ruling on appeal on this.
Okay.
And, you know, there will be a stage probably for oral argument. And it is worthwhile for people to, you know, make sure people know about this. I mean, in a lot of ways, this from the consumer or general citizen standpoint is a teaching moment. You may not be able to influence what the Federal Circuit does, but you can use this to educate your neighbors and your friends and your legislators about the problems with GMOs.
Mm.
And talk about what, you know, you and I have been talking about on this show, how insane it is that farmers are left so vulnerable to something that shouldn't be their problem.
Yeah.
You know, this case shouldn't exist.
Right.
So use it as a teaching moment, because the other stage, of course, is influencing the legislature. And, God, there's a lot to be done there.
You know, I used to think there was – I had Jack Abramoff on the show a while back talking about how lobbyists influence governmental decisions. And I once asked him if he thought politicians were influenced when petitions end up on their desk signed by 200, 300, 400,000 people. And he didn't even hesitate. He didn't think about it. He says it means nothing to them. He says if they have an agenda to promote, they don't care about that, because they're going to promote it. And basically, I'm paraphrasing. And when it comes time for election, they're not going to focus on that. They're going to focus on other things. They're going to lie their way through it, and they're going to get reelected. They're not threatened by that.
I think there's a lot of truth to that, but I think there's also some nuance. And this is, you know, what I hear back from from staffers who I trust, you know,
right.
ones who I think actually are in there for the right reason.
Right.
First of all, you know, if the politician or the staff has an agenda, yeah, you're right. Nothing's going to change their mind.
Right.
But that's not all of them, by any stretch of the means. The ones that are in the middle, I'll also say this, and this is something that, I mean, I'm getting into more and more arguments with people over. It's sad to me. We have fallen into this culture that believes that all you have to do is press a button and you make a difference.
Mm.
I have so many people who keep saying, why don't you set up an auto email? Why don't you set up online petitions? Why don't you make it as easy for us as these other groups do? And my response is, because it doesn't work.
Right.
Because it makes you feel good, and it doesn't actually make change. The legislators, I mean, you'll see this. There's the Minnesota legislative website, official website writes this, that the legislators would rather see a single personal letter in someone's own words than 100 or even 1,000 online signatures.
Right.
Or form letters.
Right.
Because in some ways, and it's the hint as to why is in what you were saying about the elections. If you are so busy with other stuff and you're so caught up in other things that all you're going to do is spend the 5 seconds to hit an auto a form letter button.
You're not a threat.
You're not a threat.
Right.
Now, if you go in there and you make the point and you put a face to it and you take the time to say, this matters to me, and I'm going to talk to my family about it, and I'm going to talk to my friends about it, I'm going to talk to my community, my church and my synagogue members or my whatever it is, then you might have an impact on the election. And then they need to be paying attention. So if folks want to have an impact on the legislature, you know, some of them will run into the legislators who are bought off, and I'm sorry, and whenever I hit that, I'm sort of like, yeah, don't waste your time on that one. Find another one.
Right.
But there's a lot of people you can influence, but you've got to take the time to do it effectively. And that doesn't mean hundreds of hours. I don't want to scare people off. You don't have to give up your day job.
No.
You don't have
a phone call.
It means more than 5 seconds to hit a button.
And you know, I can relate to what you're saying, and I'll tell you why. Because in back in the day of terrestrial radio, if someone took the time to call the radio station and complain about something a DJ did or something someone said on the air, that represented 100 opinions. We gave it a gravity. We said if one person calls, there's 100 people out there feel the same way. If someone took the time to write you snail mail, which no one does anymore, that represented 1,000 opinions. It had 10 times the gravity of a phone call. I have to believe that emails, especially these boilerplate emails, probably have less gravity than the phone call. Because you're anonymous, you click, you're done, and you go on. With a phone call, you have to think about what you're going to say. You have to instill it with emotion. And see, a lot of people are afraid to even call their politicians. I'll tell you why. I felt this way myself, and I talk for a living. I've called politicians' offices and gotten some staffer on the phone. Well, what would you like to talk about? And, you know, well, you can go to our website. And, you know, and it's like they give you the bum's rush. They want to get you off the phone. And you have to be persistent and say, look, I want to talk to somebody, right? And then they usually give you to somebody who you don't feel is really going to say or tell the politician. So sometimes there's a buffer zone around that politician. How do you get through that, Judith? How do you get through it?
The best way, there are two levels. One is, you know, ask for the staff person who's handling this issue.
Ah.
The front desk kids are lovely, but yeah, they're buffers.
Right.
The front desk kids are buffers.
Right.
You want the staff person who handles agricultural or food or health issues, whatever it is you're calling on. And you talk to that staffer, and you can develop relationships with those staffers. And that's helpful by itself. And that's a big step.
Mm.
The other is, ultimately, at every level, you know, and it's easier local or state, but it's possible even at congressional, they come home to district.
Mm.
Go set, pick up the phone. Now, this takes some planning, and this definitely is a commitment. You know, this is a commitment. But you pick up the phone, you say, hey, I would like to talk to, you know, Representative Jones or Congressman Smith or whoever it is. Next time they're in district, can I set up a meeting?
Ah.
And, you know, it won't happen the next day. You know, that's the thing. You sort of be prepared and say, okay, so what's his schedule like? Oh, great. So Monday afternoon, 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, right.
This doesn't happen in a hurry, folks.
Right, right.
But you set it up, and you go in and you talk to the representative in person, and it's incredible.
Yeah.
The power behind that effort. It's really amazing. And again, you know what? There's still the chance that they're bought off and you won't change their mind. But if you want any chance, if you want the best chance possible at impacting what you care about with that legislator, it's meeting them face to face.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap it up. We're talking with Judith McGeary. She is with the Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance. Their website is farmandranchfreedom.org. You're listening to Super Human Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while Uricoma, Longifolia, Murabuama, Lepidium Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chisel? chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
Get strong. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Judith McGeary from Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance about my favorite subject to rail about, and that is Monsanto. We actually refer to them on the show as Monsatan. And my listeners know that because when they post on Facebook, they'll say, hey, Carl, look what Monsatan is up to. But anyway, and as you point out so aptly, they're just the largest of the offenders. There are other offenders out there, so by no means. But we have to start somewhere. We start with Monsanto. You know what I'd really like to see, and you know, you being involved in law, I just would love to see one thing take place that would have effect on so many other areas, not just our fight that we're waging in trying to keep food safe and healthy for people. I would really love to see sovereign immunity amended so that in the worst offenses where congressional individuals have clearly done things against the American people so that organizations can profit or they themselves can prosper, that they should be accountable in a court of law and pursued for their legal wrongdoings. And we can't, part of my frustration is that these individuals up on Capitol Hill who make decisions that impact our lives and do so quite often from a corrupt standpoint can never be held accountable for what they do.
There's no good answer. I mean, my favorite answer is one that goes around, you know, simply that every law they pass should be equally applicable to them.
It would be
a simple solution. Let's stop creating any different standards for Congress than there are for anybody else. And, you know, the get the money out of politics. I mean, the decision by the Supreme Court to basically allow unlimited corporate donations has just, you know, exacerbated the problem that was already there. Corporations are not people. Okay, that just right up there with, you know, living creatures shouldn't have been patented. The idea that corporations are people and have the same rights are among the worst decisions ever made by the Supreme Court. And, you know, that has to get changed. And I think, you know, fundamentally you're right. I mean, it's not just for food. It's so many of our
everything.
Issues. So much of our society would be changed.
I mean, you know, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, blah, 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 blah. We all know instances where politicians clearly go, oh, man, this dude is so corrupt. Look what he just did or look what she just did. And you know that they did this for their own personal gain in one way or another. Or they've bilked the American people. They've made decisions that have bilked the American people. Like I mean, the first thing that comes to mind with me is like the banks got all that bailout money. They have not been held accountable for it. Most of them don't even know where the money went. So, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod. And at the same time, they foreclose and continue to foreclose on all of these properties. The banks will end up having the money from the American people and owning the land at the same time. Somebody needs to be, look, somebody will say, if you go, well, that person, they say, well, that person, but you start somewhere. If somebody's feet are held to the fire, they start ratting other people out, and you can go upstream. That's how the law works. We can't hold anyone's feet to the fire. All we can do is swallow it down as the American people and go, okay, I guess I'll be working half this year just to pay my taxes and the other half of the year for myself.
It's, you know, there aren't good answers, but there are answers over the long term. I mean, and this is where, you know, the problem is we got into this situation for over decades. I mean, this is not something that happened overnight. We let it as a society happen over a period of decades. And it's going to take time to turn it around. And it's going to take more people running for office, you know, making these elections actually challenging because there are so many legislators who I wish we could, you know, who I know I can't influence, and literally no one runs against them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, well, the electrical, you know, the electoral system isn't going to work here because they know they're going to get reelected. You know, so we need people stepping up gradually. And behind that, you know, that's, I see that as the end of a very long process. I mean, first people have to stop being scared of talking to their legislators before they could ever even imagine running for public office.
Right.
And so you get people, we need to bring back the concept of civic involvement and being involved in the process, whether it's local, state, or federal. If you're so disgusted with Congress that you can't even handle talking to them, okay, fine, don't talk to them. But talk to your local legislators, talk to your state legislators, become involved. And I've watched people over the last several years get over being scared of the process and really start feeling empowered and seeing changes. And one of the things we're doing this year at our conference in September, every year we have a conference.
Where is it?
On food issues. It's in September 10th and 11th in Bastrop, Texas this year. And this year we are running an entire day on what I'm calling activism boot camp.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is how to lobby, how to build networks. You know, what do you do when you want to pick up the phone and call the legislators? How do you be effective at this? And how can we create a strategy to make change? This particular boot camp will be focused very much on Texas state level stuff a lot and Texas level issues. But you can do these sorts of boot camps. I'm hoping to develop a webinar nationally on this. Get people back involved. It's what we do in our newsletter. We do it in our action alerts. We try teaching people how, you know, bite-sized bits, how to get back in control of what's going on in their community.
Yeah, because the truth of the matter is the power is in the base of the pyramid. The base of the pyramid are the people of this country. But the problem is that we don't know how to organize our opinions and mobilize our opinions, except once every 4 years when we walk into the box and press a button for somebody we view as being less distasteful than the other person on the ballot. And it's, you know, that's one of my big frustrations. My big frustration is that we could really change everything, but many of us are just rats on a wheel. We don't even have the time. If, like you said, if you go to a boot camp where you find out, oh, I can do this in little bits of time that I can realistically dedicate and fit in, and then we multiply that by millions of people and we can make a change, that's a wonderful idea. That really is.
Exactly. And you know what? You know, if my farmers can find the time to do this,
yeah, really,
anyone can. You are not busier than our farmers are.
Well, I was just going to say, coming to the end of the interview, it's funny because I buy all of my, you know, I have two farmers that I do business with. One of them is a Mennonite farmer named Jay King. So this weekend I was picking up grass-fed beef and I was picking up vegetables and I'm picking up a bunch of other things that I can't necessarily say I was picking up from him. And I said to him, Jay, I said, what do you do for fun? And he just looked at me and he said, what do you mean? I said, well, what do you do that brings you joy? I said, do you like to go fishing once in a while, go hunting? And he goes, farming brings me joy. I said, really? And I believed him. He wasn't lying. It wasn't a canned answer. And I went away and I said to Elisa, could you imagine? This guy works from sun up to sun down. He eggs and beef and milk and everything else. And that's what brings him joy. And like there is something so pristine about that. And these poor, and then he said to me at the end of this conversation we had, he said, it would be nice to be able to make a better living at it. And I thought to myself, shame on this country. Our first president, Ben Franklin, was a farmer. I mean, these people were farmers. They were the salt of the earth. They served, and then they went back to farming when they were done. They didn't become rock stars. Something is really wrong when the salt of the earth, the farmers, are being squashed by these rock stars in Washington, D.C. Something's really wrong.
Yeah, and you don't do farming if you don't love it. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience.
Yeah.
You do not do this job if you don't love it and you don't believe in what you're doing. You know, farmers do it for all sorts of reasons. It's the connection to the customer. It's the belief that we're nourishing the people who buy our food. It's a love for the land, a love for the animals. It's, you know, it's a passion and a calling, and it's one that pays less, frankly, than even most, you know, other callings.
Anything else.
Pretty much any, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, teachers and priests.
Well,
you know?
But I got to tell you, when
it
you
pays
look,
less.
When you well,
it
when, pays I think less. I think farmers make less because when you figure in the hours that you have to put in to make that, you know, people go, oh, he makes $100,000 a year. Yeah, but he works 40 hours every 3 days, every 2 days. You know what I mean? It's
and
like,
I can tell you that about 10% of that $100,000 is profit.
Yeah, exactly.
And the rest is expenses. So yeah, I mean, you only do if you love it. But the point is, I mean, and I've seen our farmers when they, you know, our membership is both farmers and consumers at the Alliance. And I've watched our farmers who are incredibly busy when they see that there can be a change and they see a glimmer of hope that there can be laws changed or regulations changed so that they can do what they're doing. They step up to the plate and they make the time. And the consumers need to also, and we do see our consumers doing it. I'm not ragging on them. I've seen a lot of wonderful consumers step up to the plate. I'm just making the point that if our farmers can, anyone can. You know, and it doesn't mean you have to leave your job and become a full-time activist. It just means you become what was envisioned when we set up this country, which is an active citizen.
Yes.
That part of your daily life that along with your job and your family and your friends and entertainment and everything else, some segment of your life is about being involved in shaping, you know, the society and the politics that we live within.
Yeah. No, excellent point. And by the way, at farmandranchfreedom.org, you can make a donation as little as $10 to help the cause. And I'm asking everybody out there to spend $10. It's two Starbucks coffees to help Judith's organization because they are fighting the good fight. For those of you who can't even take the time to click a link and get on a petition, donate $10 because they're doing the active work. So go to farmandranchfreedom.org. I will be making my donation during this break. Listen, Judith, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And please keep us posted on this good fight, okay?
Thank you, Carl. I love being on your show.
Okay, talk to you soon. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, we will have Charles Spencer on. Going to be a great interview, I promise you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The ingredients in Bridge read like a who's who of hormones and natural compounds designed to increase muscle mass, focus, and libido so you can keep all your hard-earned muscle gains as you cycle off or diet down. Bridge is not fairy dust. Ingredients like Fatogea, Pregenolon, Phosphatidylserine, and Alpha-GPC ensure you maintain an anabolic environment while you're in coma, longifolia, neuro Buama, Lepidia Mayeni, and Resveratrol keep you feeling strong and focused just the way you were on cycle. Bridge is the most unique supplement on the market that works anytime. Check out Bridge today at needtobuildmuscle.net. Don't lose your gains. Bridge them.
Summer is here. You need help quick. You need the 21-Day Beachbody Challenge from 21dayfit.com. Want muscle? Want chiseled abs? Want to feel great about your body? Then go to 21dayfit.com today and get the results you want in 21 days. From body of work icon Sean Phillips to you, this results-driven 21-minute program for 21 days gives you foolproof success, and it's free. Go to 21dayfit.com and start today, and your abs are on the way. That's the number 21dayfit.com, and download the Summer Supercharger immediately.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors. Cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Just bust the mold.
Come on, I feel like busting loose.
Just bust the mold.
Come on.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. As you know, I have endeavored to start doing interviews from audience members as part of the Muscle Saves Lives series. These are individuals who have found themselves at crossroads with their health. And either tried the medical orthodoxy slash pharmaceutical agenda for a while or didn't, abandoned it entirely and found their own path and actually reversed disease and in some cases avoided damaging effects. And this is really becoming a very, very popular series. My next guest I've wanted to have on the show for some time because his story is very, very relevant in the environment today. How you doing, Charles Spencer?
I'm doing quite well. Honored to be here, Carl.
Yeah, my pleasure. Okay, so I want to take everybody through a journey, the life of Charles Spencer. I want to start out when you were a very, very young man and when you were first diagnosed with any type of issues. When did that happen?
Well, I had rheumatologically oriented problems clear back into preschool, kindergarten. But in hindsight, it all begins to make sense now, but then it was a mystery.
So when you say rheumatological symptoms, what are we talking about for people who maybe don't understand the variances in these types of symptoms?
Joint pains, cysts, things like that that had to do with, actually the doctor was convinced that it was all in my head, and that was a common theme that kind of ran from then through a lot of digestive problems and things like that, clear through middle school, high school, things like that. And the common theme when they couldn't figure out what was going on was that give me another drug or it was time for psychotherapy because of the fact that I must have had a good imagination.
Yeah, you're imagining these things. I always loved that one.
Yeah,
I always loved
yeah.
that one. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't know that you're prepared to answer this, but I mean, we know that rheumatic fever was something that occurred in the late 1800s, early 1900s. How does something like rheumatoid arthritis attach itself to the word rheumatic? Where did that come from?
You know, truth be told, Carl, I'm really not sure, although I remember a friend growing up in grade school who had rheumatic fever. And
right.
It was one of those things where, it was just, you know, terrible, and it was you know, we spoke quietly about it, and it was like, gosh, is he going to be okay someday kind of a thing, and he had to be very careful, you know, and heart complications and this
right.
and everything else.
Right.
And I just remember that. Of course, I didn't think, you know, anything of it with me. It was, again, in hindsight, that once we started taking and connecting all the dots and finally putting it all together, that a whole lifetime, all the ducks finally lined up in a row, and everything began to make sense once we finally got to the diagnosis that it essentially got me out of that intersection of the crossroads where I was getting run over by the trains, trucks, and buses of the standard medical model.
When were you truly diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis?
That happened about 6 years ago, and that was after 15, 20 years of just terrible problems where I'd have these flares, I'd lose the use of my arms, I'd have severe joint pain and all of these things, and I'd go into a flare, and then it would be 6, 9, 12 months before I'd go into a flare again. But about 7 years ago, I went into a flare that started and never stopped. And it was continuous then for several years in spite of treatment with the standard medical model. They ended up having me on Enbrel and
Humira,
the chemo drugs that they use for rheumatoid arthritis that were doing nothing to make me better.
So Humira was not one of the drugs you were on at that point in time?
Enbrel, well, Humira was what, once the ultimate diagnosis was made, I ended up playing detective with this because obviously with the medical model that we're used to dealing with, they like to mask symptoms and make you feel better instead of working back, doing the detective work and saying, okay, what was the onset of this? What caused this? It wasn't enough for me to just say, okay, let's go ahead and do something that's going to make it so that my hands don't hurt so bad or that I don't gel quite so long in the morning or things like that. I wanted to know why, what was broken in me, what was causing this.
And the medical orthodoxy frowns on that kind of inclination for you to want answers, don't they?
Yes, they do. And in fact, my rheumatologist really reacted strongly to me bringing any suggestions of any kind outside of his suggested plan of treatment.
When you say he reacted, did he ever say anything to you like, look, this is my bailiwick, not yours, stay out of it, or if you're going to be like that, you can go find another doctor, anything that harsh?
He didn't say that. Well, every time I questioned the need to maybe look a little bit deeper, I don't doubt his passion at what he was doing. He hated, I mean, he had a huge... has a huge practice dealing with arthritis, and he has this passion for wanting to get people comfortable, not well, but comfortable. And I sensed this feeling that him seeing people in pain was difficult for him, and so he got emotionally attached to the whole idea of ameliorating pain. I didn't care. I'd been living in pain for my whole life anyway.
And you wanted a cure.
Exactly. And when I began to do the things that I did that were non-conventional, as I like to say, I kind of live on the lunatic fringe now with the way that I've elected to do things, which has given me my life back.
Isn't it funny that we're considered lunatics or zealots when
yes.
we set out to save our own lives? And I'll tell you something really disheartening, because we're going to go into a break. I watched 60 Minutes last night. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. They did a whole series of interviews about Steve Jobs.
Oh, okay.
And so Steve Jobs avoided going in. They credit his death to his avoidance for going in for the surgery immediately upon the doctors telling him in turn for some natural cures through diet and so on and so forth.
And unfortunately, he was going down the wrong rabbit hole as far as the natural cure.
Right. And I was going to say, and so what happens is this, well, first of all, he was on the wrong track his entire life being a vegan. And those of, it's funny. We just talked about this. Someone asked me a question about forks over knives and on my Facebook, mm-hmm. and I reposted an old blog post about my attitude about vegans. And I think that vegans who want to be vegans because they feel sorry for animals, God bless you, but don't tell me the vegan diet is healthier, because a lot of
Correct.
People get cancer on it anyway. And he was a lifelong vegan. And the problem with the vegan diet is, as long as it's not an animal, it's okay. And they tend to become more like grain-based vegans. A lot of starches, lots of cereals and so on, which promote inflammation. But the point is that so last night in the interview, they made it sound like, the guy who was doing the interview said, why would such a smart man try to cure this himself? And it the implication was that you're an idiot if you try to cure a disease yourself. And that's just not true. And that's
a
sad thing to say.
Yeah, we're observational for our lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and yet a doctor goes in, gets a few snippets of information that they're asking on a bias, and they somehow know more than we do. And I'm convinced that if we pay attention to our own milieu, we have the ability to take and direct our healing in a much, much better way.
There are far more people roaming this planet, especially in the United States and Canada, who have cured their own diseases than mm-hmm. those who have failed.
Yep.
But you can't have an agenda. You can't go, I'm going to cure my own disease, but I'm going to remain a vegan. No. Chances are, if you are a vegan and you have cancer, the diet's not working for you. You need to abandon it. And I'm sorry to say, you may have to eat a couple animals. But let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, because this story gets better. But those of you out there who know someone who has rheumatoid arthritis, you'll want them to listen to this interview, because the information that they're going to gain is profound, and it can change their lives. But they have to be willing to be open-minded. Stay tuned. You're listening to Muscle Saves Lives on Superhuman Radio, The Charles Spencer Story. We'll be right back.
To outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
I usually avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to SuperHumanRadio.com today and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now, get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping, too. Each 30-gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's S-U-P-E-R today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at Wise Choice Medicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This episode of Muscle Saves Lives, we're talking with Charles Spencer. This story is nothing short of astonishing, especially if you're listening to this show because someone sent it to you because you're suffering from rheumatoid arthritis. You really need to find hope in this story, because this is not a single occurrence. I've heard this story before. This is a truth you're hearing right now. So, okay, Charles, So let's fast forward just for a second. You shared some amazing details of how bad the disease got. If you had to use the facilities, the restroom, first thing early in the morning when you would awake, you would literally have to crawl to the bathroom to get there. Is that not true?
If I forgot to put the crutches by the bed or things like that, and it was a particularly bad morning, I avoided going to sleep a lot, because to sleep meant that you had to wake up and start all over again. And rheumatoid arthritis sufferers talk about jail time. And doctors start getting concerned when it gets, you know, half hour to an hour in the morning. Typically, my jail time was in excess of 2 hours every day. And there were days that I couldn't do anything more than shuffle like a chimpanzee anyway. You know, it was the joint damage, to the ankles, the elbows, the hips, the knees, everything. It was the point where I couldn't stand up straight. I couldn't straighten my arms. I couldn't close my hands into a fist. I couldn't dress myself at points. You know, there were days where I was stuck in my clothes, and I'd have to ask my wife, this is before I was 50 years old, you'd have to ask her to, you know, to help me get in or out of a shirt, you know, because of the fact I couldn't put my socks on. I couldn't walk. But by the time I would get out of the house, you know, you put a face on it, and people had no idea how difficult it was, you know, for the most part. It's my stage presence and performing, you know, that makes me say, got to make it look good when I go out there. But it was just, it was brutal.
Now, you're saying gel, like G-E-L or jail?
Gel.
Okay, yeah, gel. Like, in other words, things start moving. I got you now.
Yeah, like the joints just freeze up, and of course, you know, you get rheumatic nodes. I had these huge rheumatic nodes, and
is that part of the bulging, the joint bulging? You call that rheumatic nodes?
Yeah, and you know, you get inflammation numbers. You know, typical RA numbers by blood. You know, anything over 17 is positive for rheumatoid arthritis. By the time things hit crisis mode, my numbers were in the 800s. And so they were looking for systemic inflammation and cancer and things like that. I mean, it was bad.
Did you ever give up hope? Did you ever think to yourself, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to share something with the audience on the air. I've decided a long time ago that if I ever came down with something that I could not get past, I could not cure, that in order not to become a burden to my family and my friends, I would actually find a peaceful way to take my own life. Okay. Did you ever get to that point where you kind of started thinking about that?
I had my peace. I had made my peace. I was, you know, the pain was pretty unbearable. I was at the point where I was experiencing bone demineralization. It was taking I was ready to have 8 teeth pulled out of the mouth because the roots were closing up. I was because ultimately what happens is we have to get to the real diagnosis that ended up reversing the rheumatoid arthritis. And the real diagnosis, of course, you know, we're kind of laying the ground for the mystery here, and you know, we'll have the ultimate reveal, you know, as the story goes on a little bit. Because the rheumatoid arthritis, you know, whereas it was a relief and it was an answer at first, because it was like, you know, now we seem to have the answer. But the only thing is the only answer that the medical community had was to put me on the DMARDs, to put me on the Enbrel, to put me on the chemotherapy drugs, and, you know, to tell me to take all these anti-inflammatories. And, you know, so they were trying to weaken my immune system, but they were telling me to take vitamins to go ahead and strengthen my immune system. And it's just kind of like, wait a minute, why arm my enemy when we can just maybe look at a way to get it to stand down instead?
Right.
You know, and yet the medical model was to go ahead and try to take and balance it by giving you drugs that would take and destroy it, but then give you drugs that would take and make it stronger, but then to give you drugs to make it and there were thousands of, you know, dollars a month, you know.
And let's be clear about something. And in all fairness to doctors out there, I'm not saying that all doctors are bad, but unfortunately they have been co-opted by the pharmaceutical agenda. So let's be honest here. The reality is that even the best rheumatologists out there don't know how to treat the drug. I treat the disease. They try to find ways to manage it, but there is really, they're clueless. If they weren't clueless, they could reverse it.
When we got to the root cause, my rheumatologist denied the ultimate diagnosis and told me that if I decided to follow the course that I had already begun, that had shown tremendous improvement in all of my parameters within a very short amount of time, he told me that I'd be dead in 2 years.
Yes.
Well, that was 3 years ago.
Yes, I would love to have, I wish we could have had him on the show. I'm a little four, but I don't think he'd come on to be honest with you. Okay.
Now, my GP, my general practitioner, in the moment of crisis, was brilliant every step of the way and ended up helping, you know, getting me lined up with, and then I ended up with, ultimately, with a gastroenterologist that, and the team of those two doctors, in the moment of crisis, they were brilliant. And they have tolerated my lunatic fringe approach to things. And in fact, you know, my gastroenterologist I just saw for the first time in a year, because I'm now at the point where instead of seeing them every couple of weeks because of you know, malnutrition problems and complications with you know, with joints and this and that and everything else, now I'm just basically, okay, you're good for another year, see you in a year. If anything comes up, give me a call. You know, otherwise, you know, keep doing what you're doing. And
so when you say, you know, when you say your moment of crisis, what do you mean your moment of crisis? Is this when you revealed to yourself what you needed to do and that was the crisis, or was it the crisis?
I had made my peace. I was ready to, I was in so much pain. They had gone through neurological evaluations. They had gone through orthopedic evaluations. They had gone, and that's, you know, they were saying, you know what, we can't find anything wrong with you. You might really want to consider the fact that you need psychological counseling because of the fact that we think you're nuts, essentially, is what they were saying.
I would look at them and go, do you see the bulging joints? Do you see I mean, obviously, I'm nuts. What am I, fabricating this here?
Yeah, well, when they can't seem to figure anything out, but it was my wife. It was funny because we had both studied nutrition in college, and she caught an item one day, a little snippet in the news, and she goes, she just looked at me and she goes, you know, I think you have celiac. And
now, for those people out there, and the truth of the matter is, everybody has celiac disease. It's just in different degrees. That's just, I'm just putting that out there. But anyway.
You bet.
Okay. So for those who don't understand what celiac disease is, and we're going to go into a break in a minute, let's drop the bomb. So what exactly is celiac disease?
Celiac is gluten intolerance. You can't handle wheat, rye, and barley. Traditionally, that's what they say, although there's question about corn glutens and grains in general and things. And
bingo.
Yep. Yeah.
Grains in general. And for those of you who are new to this show, I've said it before, I will say it 1,000 times. Grains are an alternative food to feed the masses. They are not the foods that we thrive on. They are foods that we can survive on.
And give me fat, cholesterol, and protein any day.
That's it. And you know what? We were never meant to eat grains, but as populations grew, we had to experiment because we had to feed the masses, and we couldn't feed them all steak and chicken and the things that we preferred. So we had to find alternative foods, and grains are alternative foods. You cannot thrive on.
Addictive.
What's that?
Hey, and those grains are kind of addictive anyway.
Oh, they're very addictive.
Nice little opioids. You know?
Yes, they interact with the opioid receptor in the brain. Very, very good. And they cause an onrush of serotonin that gives you a great feeling and makes you want more and more and more. But they are damaging to the body. Okay, so let's talk about this. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up as Charles Spencer pulls on the thread of celiac disease and starts to find out more about nutrition, something his doctors probably could not speak to him about because they don't get any nutritional advice or education when they're in school, because the medical orthodoxy does not believe, as the father of medicine said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be food. But the medical orthodoxy believes that food has no role in the etiology of disease. Shame, shame. We know your name. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Avoid protein bars because they're generally just candy in disguise. But that's all changed now. With Quest protein bars, we can enjoy dessert again without the guilt. With 20 grams of whey isolate protein, tons of prebiotic fiber, no sugar added, and only 2 to 6 grams of active carbohydrates per bar, Quest bars will keep you full and lean. I've never endorsed a protein bar before because I simply didn't trust them. That's all changed with the Quest bar. Not just because of what's in them, but more so for what's not. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Quest protein Barbana ad. Start enjoying dessert again.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine. And no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
You may not recognize Muscle Gauge Nutrition, but that's because they've been in the background as a private label manufacturer for some of your favorite brands. Now get ready to hear their name a lot as an introductory offer. Get 5 pounds of pure whey protein isolate for as little as $11 a pound and get free shipping too. Each 30 gram scoop contains the requisite amount of leucine to stimulate the anabolic response. Check out these flavors: cake batter, chocolate, cinnamon bun, ice cream sandwich, rocky road, strawberry, vanilla, and unflavored. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad and use the coupon code SUPER. That's SUPER today. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Charles Spencer, and the story's getting better now. Okay, so your wife says, you know, a lot of the things that you're experiencing sound very similar to celiac disease. So what do you say?
Exactly. Well, you know, the light immediately went on, and I couldn't get to the internet quick enough to go ahead and check things. It was so funny. I remember studying it in college. Our nutrition textbook, it was in a nursing nutrition course, had sheaves of wheat on the front. And the celiac section, I remember our professor specifically saying, you know, this is relatively rare. You'll probably never run into this in your lifetime. And I specialize in irony, and so, of course, I did run into it. And
in irony. That's funny.
it was one of those things where it was like instantly all of the things that I had studied years before just started flooding in there, and I immediately went, you know, a lot of this had been prepped by the fact that, you know, Carl, I've listened to your show for years and years, and you know, hearing people talk about things on nutrition, everything from, you know, Randy Roach, Agnes von der Planitz, all these different people that, you know, that I had heard and things like that, I'd been looking at nutritional things, but never, always kind of like, oh, that's interesting, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah, that's not the answer, right? That's not
right.
Yeah, right.
Right. That's for somebody else. And I mean, so I can understand that when other people, you know, have seen my transformation in a relatively short amount of time into getting my life back and saying, well, that's good for you, but it has no relevance to me.
Yeah.
Whereas I now,
and you know, and say, you know what a lot of them will even say to you. I mean, I don't even know if a doctor has said this to you yet, But a lot of them will say, well, you were miscategorized. You were misdiagnosed because there's no way that you could cure a rheumatoid arthritis by changing your diet. I'm sorry. So you were misdiagnosed.
I ran into an interesting reaction to that. I ran into a couple of research doctors that are doing some research on the effects of exercise in rheumatoid arthritis. And, you know, that's all well and good. But when I talked to them and explained to them where I had been as far as joint mobility before, because I could not straighten my arms to fully extend them anymore. I couldn't close my hands to pick up a tennis ball. This is as short as 4 years ago. And now what happens is I can make a complete fist, I can straighten my arms, I can tolerate exercise. And whereas early on in the rheumatoid arthritis process, the exercise may have helped a little bit, it got to the point where, Carl, I had no recovery ability anymore, and so exercise actually exacerbated everything.
So give an example. What would you do, and then it would take you weeks, literally, to recover?
Well, you know, I've been building exercise prototypes for 30-some years, and I got to the point where I couldn't even touch them anymore, because if I'd sit down and go to do like a leg extension with a baseline of X number of pounds on the thing and do a set to failure, it would take me a month to get to the point where I could do that same weight for the same number of repetitions anymore.
Wow.
Now, post-recovery, after I've been through all of this ordeal and now I'm at the point where I am, I'll get to the point where I'm measurably stronger in the afternoon after a morning workout.
Interesting. So you're already recovering.
Recovery is all about diet.
Yeah.
Optimizing exercise is all about dietary support, eating the right things and not eating the things that slowly kill us.
Right. So let's go back for a second. So you start looking at glutens and grains and you start eliminating them from your diet, right?
Well, we started looking at glutens first. And it was like, okay, we've got to wrap our brain around this. You know, my wife is a wonderful cook, a wonderful baker, and we romanced with food. And this change was very difficult for us because, it was such an integral part of our romance growing up, you know, kind of a thing. You know, I
right.
happen to like the fact that she, you know, made the world's best chocolate chip cookies and everything else. I mean, you know, just one of those things, and homemade bread and things like that. But what happened was we said, okay, and we started looking at it, and the standard American adaptation of celiac diet has really morphed and changed over the last 40 years to try to make it look a lot like the standard American diet. And that's a horrible thing.
Yes, I know.
You know,
and that's because
and
our government is so heavily invested in grain-based crops that they need us. They need us to eat our ways to their profitability.
Yeah, and I didn't. What happened is when we knocked out the glutens from wheat, rye, and barley, I got less bad, but I didn't get better.
Right.
You know, I stopped getting bad at such an accelerated rate. And so it got to the point where I could start thinking a little bit. You know, the brain fog was still there. I had postprandial problems with you know, and as it turns out, I was dealing really at an accelerated level with leaky gut. The villus atrophy was horrible. Everything was really, really bad with all
right.
of this. And, you know, bone density issues, severe malnutrition. You know, just it's one of those things. That's why I was leaching calcium out of my teeth and my bones. I was having, you know, blood sugar regulation problems. And one of the things that happened is I needed calories. In fact, if my body, when we knocked the grains out, I did start to heal. But I had a problem. I was eating probably close to 6,000 or 7,000 calories a day, and I was losing weight scary fast.
Right.
And couldn't keep enough in. Well, I was eating a lot of fruit.
Yeah,
and I had a tremendous problem with fructose malabsorption that I didn't realize at the time.
Never mind that, but for those of you who aren't clear on this yet, high intake of fruit, it causes the same changes in the liver as alcoholism does.
Yeah, you're yeah. looking at, you know, fatty acids,
yeah.
you know, liver deposits, and you're looking at, you know, triglycerides.
And one of my big frustrations is that the dietetic orthodoxy always says eat your fruits and vegetables. And I just, you know, I would be very happy if they would just reverse that. That would make me happier. Eat your vegetables and fruits. This notion mm-hmm. that, and I know people who eat fruits all the time and they can't understand why they can't lose weight. And I'm saying, well, it's because fructose is stored as a triglyceride. It turns into fat before it can mm-hmm. be used as a source of energy. So it gets on the back and they just don't get it.
Yeah. They don't get it at all. It's funny. I, you know, we'll go into that a little later, but as far as what I had for breakfast this morning, that just keeps me.
So you're eating all these calories, but you're really not, you're actually losing weight. So when does the change come?
I couldn't make it a half hour or 45 minutes without having to eat.
Right.
You know, it was just one of those things where it was just kind of like, it was this vicious cycle, and it was just horrible. Well, first of all, we decided just, I picked up, Paleo Diet, Lauren Cordain's book.
Right. Good book.
By this point, I had been doing a lot of research on celiac.com, Scott Adams' site. I'd been looking at Rob Wolf's site. I had been looking at Mark's Daily Apple. Just all of these different sites and looked more and more at paleo, and started looking at, you know, of course, you know, you talking about, you know, things with like U.S. Wellness Meats and things like that and organic. And I started paying a lot more attention to the source of my foods.
Right.
And oddly enough, what really turned things around, I had a number of little corners that I turned, and the first one was a realization that I couldn't handle any grains. We cleaned up the diet. We got the glutens out of there. My family understood how careful they had to be around me as far as shared preparation area and things like that. And yet I got what I thought was my first cross-contamination. And it just about had my wife in tears because of the fact that she decided to cook up a hamburger for me. Well, very innocently, she had sprayed the pan with Pam, which I would never use myself when I was doing stuff. And, of course, what's it got in it? Not glutens, but soy.
Right.
It's soy oil. And what about put me in the hospital? I had a more violent reaction to that than I did to any glutens.
Right.
I've been very fastidious about my gluten exposure ever since we realized what needed to happen. And so it was pretty evidential that it was the soy. And I've been reading Elaine Gottschall's works on the gut and how to take and heal it. And one of her things is she feels that there's an overdiagnosis of celiac because of the fact that soy can actually cause the same kind of villus atrophy in the endoscopic examination of the small intestine as does gluten.
And you know, and for those of you out there, to come back and punctuate the alternative food notion that I'm promoting here, that these grains are alternative foods, they were never made. You have to understand that nature is not kind to humans. It's not like as though nature presents these things so that humans can exploit them. All grains, because they can't get up and fight like a lion can, their approach to evolutionary selection pressure is the incorporation of things called anti-nutrients. And the notion behind an anti-nutrient is this. In order for me to protect my genetic material, I will become poisonous to the species that prey on me. And this is the notion why soy has estrogens in it, because if animals eat the soy, their mating rituals drop, their libido, the males drop libido, the pregnancies drop, and basically, the more soy they eat, they wipe themselves off the face of the earth, and the soy has won. It's gotten rid of one of its natural enemies. So this notion that everything is out there for man to exploit is exactly the opposite of the truth. These grains have anti-nutrients in them, so we, like other animals, get sick when we eat them.
And we pass them through and we deposit them and plant them all over the place. You
well,
know,
and it, also remember, Charles, these things that we are exploiting are seeds.
Yep.
Grains, these are the genetic material. We are designed to protect our genetic material. They are designed to protect their. You're not eating the leaves. You're eating
right.
the seeds. When you eat the seeds, there are poisons in there to keep the genetic material protected.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So once we knocked out all the grains, and in fact, the best little moment that I had was when I went a couple of weeks of eating meat only. And
grass-fed, I would imagine. I know you know, I mean.
Well, at that point, I was still being pragmatic with things, but nonetheless, that comes in a little bit later. But that was the first big turning point. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, I felt so much better. And I felt guilty because of the fact that I wasn't eating that, you know, healthy whole grain diet. And I
right.
was eating all of this, you know, this meat and fat. Because what happens is I would take, and at this point, I was lightly grilling it, and I would take, and I would save all the fat, and I would just take and pour it back over the, and just eat all that because it just tasted so good to me. And I felt really good. And all of a sudden, I wasn't, I, 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 wasn't having these cycles of hunger every 45 minutes, and so I could start enduring a little bit longer, you know, maybe 2 hours, and it was like, that was this huge change for me. But not only that, as soon as we took all the, within 48 hours of taking all the grains out, and keep in mind, I'd been having gel times in excess of 2 hours every morning, you know, for years, that within 48 hours of going completely grain-free, I could literally hit the ground running in the morning.
Really?
I could get out of bed. I could stand
did you,
up and I could
did you
laugh.
Did you become overwhelmed with emotion? Any kind of did you become overwhelmed with anger because of all the years that you had lost at the hands of your doctors, or did you become overwhelmed with complete joy that you found the answers and you knew you were on the right track?
Both, absolutely both. You know, and the thing is like the anger, I'm trying to figure out how to take and move in the direction of positively influencing other people's lives so that they can share from, you know, from my experiences so they can avoid the difficulties that I went through and so that we can take and make positive changes and to educate people as to why, because I see this in everybody. You know, and people tell me I'm nuts, or that, you know, no, it was just you. You're the exception. It's just kind of like, no.
Yeah, you're allergic to grain. You're allergic to grains. Yeah, right.
I can see, you know, that hack that would work its way in the wintertime where I just would always be coughing and, you know, and all of the little things that I just kind of tolerated as saying, oh, that's just part of growing older, or that's just part of, you know, this, or that's just part of that. And now what happens is, there's none of that.
Right.
I'm healthier now than I was when I was 18 years old.
And I'm going to, we have to take a break. I'm going to say something to those of you out there listening to this who don't necessarily have rheumatoid arthritis, that you have subclinical versions of this same disease. We all do. Even if it just manifests itself as a low-grade, whole-body inflammatory response, we were never meant to eat grains. We were not. Don't let the American Dietetic Association convince you of this, because there are so many people out there with so many diseases today that could completely be wiped away by eliminating grains. We've had, Dr. Bill Davis on, a world-renowned cardiologist who finally said, you know what? I figured it out. It's not fat. It's the grains that's causing arteriosclerosis. And he's right,
that's
because we know that, these lectins cause inflammation in the arterial wall.
Yep.
So, again, folks, these seed foods that carry genetic material have anti-nutrients in there to keep you from eating them. It's a very, very simple situation. And it's very understandable. And the easy solution is to avoid grains at all costs. But some people would say, oh, you know what? We're zealots. Oh, really? We're the zealots because we don't want to eat something that's not edible? No, I say you're the zealot for trying to not only eat something that's unedible, but forcing me to eat it too. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA-certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at
at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies. Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age 4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
An aromatase inhibitor shown to be stronger than ATD and 6-oxo and a SERM to rival tamoxifen. Finally, muscle-building testosterone levels. Finally, 4-Max. Old-school testosterone boosters never did quite work that well because they fell short of critical levels of testosterone needed to build muscle. They only controlled estrogen. That's like flooring a gas pedal connected to a 4-cylinder engine. No matter how hard you push, the engine isn't going to run any faster. 4-Max changes that by signaling each level of testosterone production, replacing your old 4-cylinder with a supercharged V12. Get 4-Max. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the 4-Max banner ad today.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Tomorrow's Tuesday, which means it's the Blueprint Power Hour. During the first hour, during the second hour, Dr. Jared Skowron comes on to talk about new evidence that a methylene tetrahydrofolate reductase mutation can actually cause autism, depression, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder in children. Very, very new research. Right now we're talking with Charles Spencer in this installment of Muscle Saves Lives. And, okay, so you have now cut all grains out of your diet for how long?
It's going on at least a good 3 years for, well, almost, yeah, 3 years for grain-free. And then under the influence of hearing Randy Roach being interviewed a number of times on your show and things like that, more towards a lot of raw stuff.
Okay, so tell me about your life now.
Carl, I'm in days of grace. You know, like I said, you know, years ago I had made my peace. I was ready to go because I just couldn't. I couldn't live with the pain and the disability and basically being crippled, and just didn't know how much longer I could hang on. And now I wake up pain free. I was told by my rheumatologist that all of my joint damage was irreversible, and yet what happens is it's all reversed.
Really?
Yeah. It was wonderful for me that it stopped getting so bad. But you look at my hands now, and they don't look like they have any of. My index fingers are not quite back to being able to take and fully close. Well, in fact, gosh, they're even better today than they ever have been.
Huh. They must have got excited about doing the show.
I guess, all these endorphins and stuff pumping as far as being excited to be on the show. Yeah. But all that feel good stuff that it wasn't there for years, and I mean, I'm getting physically younger. I'm stronger. I'm able to train. I eat. I recover. And yet. I don't go out to restaurants, you know. Could I have a dozen raw eggs, please? it's one of those things where
they won't give it to you. It doesn't matter.
No, they won't. You know, we can't give those to you. Those are dangerous. It's just kind of like, no, the foods that you're serving to everybody are dangerous.
Right.
You know, but the whole theory ended up becoming, the working theory ended up becoming, and it was cool because trying to take and decode everything that was going on with celiac disease, looking at, I think, Randy, you guys were talking about the two-calf study that the farmer did out of Canada, where he raised two heifers, one on raw milk and the other one on pasteurized milk,
right.
And doing the postmortem, that was huge.
Actually, that research has to be attributed to Dr. Francis Pottinger. He did that, and actually, if you Google Dr. Francis Pottinger, you'll actually find the actual plates, the photographs that he took,
yeah.
in I want to say in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where he raised cats.
Oh, Pottinger's cats, yeah.
Yes, he gave one group of cats got cat food and pasteurized milk, and the other group of cats got raw meat and raw milk.
Mm-hmm.
And he noted that, number one, the cats that got raw milk and raw food had larger litter numbers, more frequent litters, and the kittens were homogeneous. All the kittens looked exactly the same. The cats that got the cooked food and pasteurized milk, they had little runt kittens. They all looked different, some with black, some with spots. And then when he sacrificed the older cats, and he opened them up, and there's actually photographs on the internet of the insides of these cats. When you look at their viscera, the cats that were eating cooked foods and pasteurized milk, their organs were misshapen. Some organs were in the wrong place. The color of their internal body was a palish gray, where the other cats had beautiful red, you know, colors, and the organs were well shaped, and they were where they belonged. It was profound. It was like, oh my God. The differences are undeniable. That was Dr. Francis Pottinger that owned.
Yeah, well, then there was actually a friend of Randy's, Randy Roach's, then, that actually did that same thing with
calves.
Two heifers.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, with two calves. And when he did the postmortem and split the gut contents open of the two different ones, anybody with celiac looking at the wheelbarrow full of you know, crap that wasn't contained in the one that had the pasteurized milk, would relate to that and say, yeah, that looks like celiac to me, you know. Whereas the other one, you know, the contents of the gut were well formed. It looked like, you know, there was a healthy digestive process going on. Looking at the writings of Natasha Campbell McBride on gut and psychology syndrome and gut flora and doing, reading into the whole human microbiome project that NIH is doing and things like that.
Right.
My working theory was that because every turn for the worse for me involved antibiotics.
Ah.
And if I look at gut-mediated antibiotic, antibiotic-mediated gut flora damage as being the environmental trigger, and then couple that with the fact that I had, because I had very poor tooth enamel as a child, so I had a mouthful of mercury amalgam fillings from when I was little, you know, on up. And looking at the bactericidal effect of that on both oral and gut flora, my working, you know, hypothesis became that I had to take and restore my gut flora to a healthy function. And the fructose was, of course, feeding the wrong stuff in
right.
there because I was so out of balance. And so lots of coconut and coconut oil, lots of raw coconut, lots of raw of coconut oil, and no fructose anymore. No grains at all.
Tell me about breakfast. You said you had digressed before, and you said, "Well, I'll tell you about my breakfast later." What was your breakfast like?
Breakfast is, you know, it's a dozen raw eggs, a couple of spoonfuls of coconut oil, and a pint of raw milk, and you know, I'm good to go for hours.
Yeah.
You know, with that, and you know, I'm not hungry. I feel so much better, and you know, lots of energy, and it's one of those things where it's like. And I don't need to eat first thing in the morning either. I like to kind of be in that, you know, ketogenic state where running on fat. And I'll tell you, the brain works so much more acutely, you know, in that situation, because the primary place that I'd be after eating my typical standard American diet meal before my diagnosis of celiac was that I would just be in brain fog. I couldn't put two sentences together. You know, I was at the point where I couldn't sit up. I was drooling. I was, it was just, you know, I felt like I was 90 years old, but I knew that chronologically I wasn't even 50 yet at that point.
Right.
And, you know, it was frightening, you know, to think that it's like, gosh, I'm at the end of this. And yet what happened was, fortunately, I had done a lot of strength training my whole life, that I had enough muscle capital, you know, that carried me through this.
Right.
You know, it took me longer and longer. I'd sit there, and if I'd worked physically hard for a couple hours on a given day, it would be another week before I could do that again, kind of a thing. I mean, right. And I felt horrible. I felt, you know, I just lay there in a stupor most of the time. But once... Reading Stephanie Seneff's stuff on cholesterol as well, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I feared eggs, you know, for a while, because it's just kind of like, oh, you know, cholesterol. And it's like, no. You know, the neurological issues that I was having, the autoimmune issues that I was having, it's just kind of like, now that I feed that and I get good sunlight and exposure and things like that, it's like, I have never been this healthy, and yet I eat 2 to 3 dozen eggs a day. I eat, you know, usually a pound of organic meat a day. I also get, you know, soup bones, and I'll boil down soup stock, you know, from that. And you know, that's my treat, you know, once a week, where I've got, you know, some really, really rich, you know, bone broth that, you know, that I'll have, and I'll throw some, you know, the modicum of vegetables. I do like collard greens and, Brussels sprouts and cauliflower. And that's basically it, because I have to stay away from legumes. The whole leaky gut thing, the whole gut permeability thing, lectins. I don't do chicken. I don't do foods that are high in lectin content.
Well, now you said chicken, but now are we talking about commercially raised chickens, or are we talking about any chicken?
Well, at this point, I just have stayed away from any. Although my lovely organic farmer family, they have, you know, free range chickens or everything certified organic, and. I'll tell you, listening to the first half of the show and talking about farmers who love what they do, I can relate to that so much. I go out, and this is a family who they just work from sun up to sundown and then some, and their dad is just so committed to learning better and better methods of just making the land feed itself properly.
If you turn chickens loose and you don't give them any feed, they won't die. They will eat worms and grubs, and they will eat bugs, and they will eat grass, and they will eat things.
The eggs are richer.
Yeah, and here's the problem that people don't get yet. It's not enough to cut grain out of your diet. You have to also cut animals out of your diet that are being fed grains, because the lectins pass through. They pass through in the milk, they pass through in the eggs, and they pass through the flesh. And you said something before about antibiotics. You're absolutely right. Guess what? Commercially raised animals that are being fed antibiotics, those antibiotics are in their flesh. Well, it's doing the same damage on a lower grade scale to your body as if somebody was giving you a sulfur-based antibiotic dose for the next 2 weeks.
Of the tonnage of antibiotics that are produced in this country, I think greater than 60% of them actually go into those CAFO animals.
That's right. That's right. You know, over 60% of all the antibiotics produced are fed to animals in
tonnage.
Yeah.
You know, and what happened was, when I first went organic with the meat, we at one particular point we just, you know, we said, gosh, this is getting expensive, and I said, okay, I'll go ahead and try some of the store bought stuff, and. You know, I tried to be open-minded about it and things like that. But for a celiac, crap matters.
Yeah.
And you know, it is the ultimate litmus test as to whether what you're doing is working for you or working against you. And I had, shall we say, very undesirable reactions from that.
Right.
And I figure I cannot tolerate exposure to anything.
No. Even if it's secondhand. Even if the animal you're eating ate it, you're still going to pick up those lectins. Okay, we're coming towards the end of the interview. I've been waiting to ask you this question. I don't know if you kind of implied it already or not. Your rheumatologist, have you seen your rheumatologist? When was the last time, and what has this person said?
Carl, I fired him, and people keep telling me that I need to go back and show him what I have accomplished, because of the fact that you would never – know what I had, the severe rheumatoid arthritis that I had, that, you know, 4 years ago when I couldn't stand up. If I sat down for an hour, I had to start the day all over again because I would go through gel time all over again. It was that bad, and it was one of those where it's like, because the research, the doctors that I was talking about from this large research project on arthritis and exercise, they were incredulous at the fact that, you know, that I had not only recovered but reversed to the degree that I had. And they were saying, oh, it's exercise. I said, no, it's diet. Then the exercise comes later, because you get to the point where when you get so severely disabled by that, you lose all ability to recover, and then the exercise at that point becomes deleterious because life itself is on its way to
end. Yeah, actually, the exercise will cause you to push back. If your body can't recover, the exercise becomes one of the insults instead of one of the healing factors.
Absolutely.
But okay, you do have to go back to this rheumatologist. You have to make an appointment with this rheumatologist and sit in that waiting room, and when he or she walks in and sees you, you need to stand up. You need to do a little tap dance, then wave your hands like a magician would to say, look, there's nothing in my hands. Clap them together and say, I'm not on any drugs anymore, and look how good I am. And you didn't want to hear anything about this, and I feel sorry for the rest of your patients. And then I would grab my jacket and throw it over my shoulder like Fred Astaire, and I would tap dance out of the place and say, see ya. And just so this idiot can see that this closed mind that this person has is hurting his or her patients. And if there is any shred of the desire that led that person to become a physician in the first place left inside hollow brain, they will sit back and go, oh my God, I've got to do something about this.
Because there's that passion, like I said, there's that passion there, but it's one of those things where it's become misdirected.
Yeah.
I'd be afraid that I'd go in and start proselytizing to all the patients in the first place.
No, you don't do that. You don't do that, because you know what? You'll hurt those patients, because those patients aren't ready. You know what? Like Jack Nicholson said to Tom Cruise, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. A lot of people can't handle the truth, because then when they realize that they've had control over this disease all along,
yep,
and their bad choices led to this disease all along, a lot of them say, no, it can't be true, you're wrong. And they will say, black is white.
Bad choices hyped by an indoctrination process that involves sitting in front of the TV and being fed just a load of BS every commercial break on what they should be consuming, when in fact that's just feeding the whole model in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and if Bill Gates has his way, we'll all have low-grade celiac disease someday. Anyway, look,
get worse.
Or do you want to plug anything? Are you working on a book? Do you have a website? Are you doing anything?
Go to the number 2 strength at WordPress.com is my little blog. I write a lot about infometric exercise and some of the exercise equipment that I've been working on over the years and things like that. It's kind of a low-volume place. I get there and put articles up. I've written some theoretical stuff on exercise over the years that I put there, but it's, I don't know. I've got a half dozen books in the back of my brain, but I've never started,
Got to get them to come out your fingertips now. Okay. And then, of course, for those of you listening to this show must be passed around to anybody who has rheumatoid arthritis. And I'll tell you something else. Any woman who suffers from fibromyalgia can find the same success as Charles has found,
because psoriatic arthritis, like Phil Mickelson has.
There you go. These are all avoidable disorders. They're not diseases, and they come from the diet first. But you have to be willing to accept the fact that you have control over it and you can change it. Listen, Charles, I want to thank you for coming on the air and talking about this today. This is very, very important information. I just hope people are willing to listen with their minds and not their emotions when they hear this story.
Absolutely. I love your show, Carl. It's been a privilege to be here.
Thank you so much, Charles.
Take care.
We also want to thank Judith McGeary for coming on the show today. Please visit her website, farmandranchfreedom.org. Donate $10 to Farm and Ranch Freedom Alliance so that they continue to fight the good fight. We'll see you tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.